at the start of a sermon, it's our custom just to pray for a moment. So let's pray. Loving Lord, we thank you for your word to us, for this gospel written by Mark so long ago. Please speak to us now through it. Let us know your will for us. Amen. Now, the gospel written by Mark, his account of the life and work and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, is, he tells us, the beginning of the good news about Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. That's what Mark tells us in that very first verse. It's like a title, really. Then his story, his account of Jesus' life, starts not with Jesus, but with an outsider who lives in the wilderness and is frankly a bit weird. Camel hair, locusts, wild honey and all that. That outsider is giving a message, one that people are flocking from Jerusalem to hear. That's John the Baptist, of course, and he's fulfilling a prophecy, one that talked of the coming of the Messiah and said, make straight paths for the Lord. And so John the Baptist, as he's become known, is seen preaching, we're told, a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And everyone wanted to hear this stuff. And the whole population of the Judean countryside and of Jerusalem. We get that lots and lots of people came. Now, one way to understanding things that happened in the Bible is to picture ourselves there and to see where we might fit in. You've got this odd guy preaching out in a Judean wilderness by the River Jordan. Dinner is locusts, with a bit of wild honey to go if he can find it. Dressed in camel hair, people flocking to hear him with this tough message, a message of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Where do we fit in? I'm going to hazard a guess here. Now, I know that you've all scrubbed up very nicely for this baptism, so I may be getting it wrong, but I reckon that none of us here see ourselves as the weird one living on locusts out in the wilderness. I don't, anyway. Does anyone? No. Okay. We're the crowd, aren't we, if we're anyone? We're in this story at all. We're in the crowd. And with all our different motivations, we've gone out to hear from the latest sensation. Maybe we just fancy a day out, frankly. Maybe we've heard from someone else. You've got to go and hear this guy. He's amazing. Maybe we think that the Messiah has come, that that is who John is, that we have to go and see him for ourselves. And we get there, and although John was clearly a very powerful preacher and a charismatic man, his message was that one way more powerful was coming, one who would baptize not with water, from the River Jordan, as John was, not with water, but with this Holy Spirit. That's John's message as Mark tells it. He's preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, and he's baptizing all those who come forward. And at the same time, he's saying, guys, there's another one coming, one who is truly amazing. And just then in his story, Mark slips in, at that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee. And we get, because Mark is a storytelling ninja who gets the timing just right, that this is the more powerful one whom John was referring to, the one whose sandals John was not even worthy to untie. And then something really odd happens, really, really odd. And that thing is that Jesus, the one who's come, who's super powerful, Jesus is baptized by John, who's not even worthy to be his servant. It's an extraordinary dynamic. John is calling everyone there to repentance and baptism, tells everyone about this amazing guy that's coming, and that amazing one is baptized by John. Now, there's a very famous painting, which you'll know, I'm sure, by Piero della Francesca, called The Baptism of Christ, and there's a sort of stylized Jesus standing very still on the edge of a tame little stream with John pouring a little bit of water on his head and a dove just overhead and a few other slightly angelic-looking figures around. It's lovely, But is it actually how we picture the scene? Here was a vast crowd, jostling on the bank, loads of them in the water, I reckon, a decent-sized river, not a tiny little stream, mass production baptism going on. And suddenly John realises who he's about to baptise next in this queue of people. This man Jesus has come as part of the crowd, as one of us. He's come as one of us, one of the crowd. On that day, if you had gone out from Jerusalem, or if you'd come from your field in the Judean countryside, if you had been there, you could have been baptised immediately before or immediately after the Son of God. How about that? If you ever wonder why it's said that Jesus came for us to be with us as one of us, imagine that crowd. Imagine being there as we so easily could have been had we lived back then. Imagine being baptized right next to him. Him being baptized just like you and me, and then you next. But he's not just like you and me, is he? Because as he comes up out of the river, something happens to the sky. I don't know from the text whether only Jesus saw it or whether others did too. But it was clearly something that defied human understanding. And so we have this picture that we cannot quite understand. He saw, we're told, heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And generations of artists have kind of given up at this point and just painted a dove, because what's the Holy Spirit descending like a dove really meant to mean? It was like that, but it was more than that. The wall between heaven and earth is breached as Jesus Christ is baptized and the Holy Spirit pours through on this one man, the God-man, Jesus Christ. And then there's the voice. Can you imagine hearing such a thing? You are my son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased. Baptism is a sign that has been handed down to us by God, a sign that God himself took part in on that day. It's a sign of God with us. It's a sign that he acts in our lives. Baptism is a witness of God's grace, that is of his mercy and goodness towards us, towards all of us. The old books call it an effectual sign. That is a sign that's not just a sign, but one that actually works invisibly in us to strengthen and confirm faith. It's a mark of difference between Christians and those who are not. It's a sign of new birth. It's a sign that, like Jesus Christ, we too can be a child of the living God. It's a grafting into the family of the church. Baptism contains God's promise of forgiveness of all sins. It's our adoption as a child of God. Now understand this. As we read of the baptism of Christ there on the first page of his gospel, Mark is telling us that this is only the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. Indeed, the whole of Mark's account is only the beginning of that good news. Mark and the other gospel writers and the apostles who left us their words in the Bible spell it out. We are all, each of us, every single one of us here, every single one of us not here, bearers of the image of God, loved by him as we are. There is nothing you need to do to make God love you. There is nothing you can do to make God love you any more than is already the case. We are each of us loved by the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We are all welcome into the family of God. Today we shall welcome Rowan into that family by baptism. God the Holy Spirit is right here amongst us as we do so, affirming our action, proclaiming in us and in Rowan the limitless love of God. Our hope and prayer is that as she grows up, she will come to know Jesus Christ for herself, to stake her claim in her family by her own declaration, to stake her claim in the family that stood on the banks of the River Jordan and stretches through time to include the family of St. Andrew's in Stapleford. Rowan can do that. Any of us can do that by turning to Jesus Christ in repentance and faith. Jesus stood there in the River Jordan, proclaiming by his baptism, "I am with you." Those words still ring loud today. And by his death on the cross, he proclaimed even more fully, "I love you." All that is left for us to do is to turn to him with joy in our hearts and maybe tears in our eyes and say, "Thank you, Lord, I'm yours."